blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I am your host, Abraham Hamilton III. I am back. I'm glad to be back. Hannah is on tap to screen calls. Mr. Reed is here manning multiple stations today. Mr. Tross is out today. But guess what? I'm excited to be here today. Thank you so much to Miki Addison and Stacy Washington for filling in for me while I was away. These are two of my favorite women in the world, quite frankly, and are phenomenal, phenomenal radio hosts and, quite frankly, just women of God that I count it a privilege to be able to call on them to step in when I need help. And so they did a phenomenal job. I heard some of the programming while I was away, and it's just awesome, man. I have to tell you, it's such a great privilege to work with such amazing people. It's an awesome privilege. I took some time away, a little vacation with my wife and my family. Yes, my five children. We had a great time together, but I am ready to go today. I can't tell you, I was on vacation, but people didn't want to let me vacate. Getting messages, I had to just put the phone down. I was like, man, so many things happened while I was away. I can't tackle them all in one program, but we're going to get this thing cracking today. So we're going to start today in John chapter 8. And I think this portion of scripture is extremely relevant for today. And even this entire conversation I ventured into once before in this program with Abdu Murray from Ravi Zacharias' ministry, where his description of us living in a post-truth culture, where truth is subjugated to opinions and feelings. And if we're not living in that kind of culture right now, man, I don't know what to tell you. So let's start. I'm going to read the scripture, then I'm going to step in, jump into it, and unpack it quite a bit, and we'll go from there. John chapter 8, the Gospel of John. The one on out, not the synoptic gospels. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 38 is where I am going to start the program today. And just for context, this follows the beginning of chapter 8, where Jesus literally interceded, it's a great description, for the woman who was caught in adultery. Obviously, if she's caught in adultery, caught in the act of adultery, there had to be a man present, right? Right. Caught in the act of adultery. Then he proceeds from that glorious theological discourse, I'll say it that way, to explain that he's the light of the world. And so much of the audience that he was making these statements before at this point are Jewish in ethnicity and in heritage. And we pick up in verse 31 in this chapter, and I'll read it to verse 38, then we'll have a conversation. Here we go. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, meaning the Jews in this audience, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with the Father, and you do what you have heard from your father. Jesus goes on from there and explaining clearly, you say you're Abraham's seed, but you're not Abraham's seed. Oh, no. Because if you are Abraham's seed, you would know how to deal with me properly. You would reveal the word of God. No, you are of your father, the devil. Oh, Diablo, the old deluder, Satan. Jesus was saying that. But let's go to the very beginning of the passage I just shared, verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him. Isn't it amazing when the scripture says who had believed him, it does not say who had believed in him. There's a difference with being persuaded by conversation and making a personal investment of trust in the God-man Jesus Christ. The scripture notes some of the Jews who believed him. This is an introductory statement for this passage to give you an indication that this belief is very superficial and is not a personal investment of trust in the person of Jesus Christ, which is explained in the next immediate phrase. Jesus says this, if you abide in my word. That word abide there in Greek literally means to take up residence, to not visit intermittently, to not hang around the periphery, but if you take up residence in my word, that if you take up habitation in the word of God, then he makes these two qualifying statements. Then you are truly my disciples. See, Jesus is laying up a winnowing line, a line of demarcation in his audience. There's a group who has gathered, but there are those who are gathered, and then there's another group called my disciples. Jesus is indicating that these people, and I say it this way, there's a difference between being casually curious about the Christ and have a personal investment of trust in the Christ, a personal investment, a personal reliance, a personal trusting in the eternal salvific atoning work of Jesus Christ, as opposed to saying, this guy has an interesting philosophy I haven't heard before, with a passing and fleeting curiosity. Because you people with those two different groups, the casually curious and the personal investors in trust, they both will gather. But those who are casually curious, they come like spectators at a zoo. That's an interesting exhibit. They're not putting their full weight down on what they're witnessing. They are spectators. Jesus says, if you would abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Then verse 32, and, I love the word of God. And, which is a conjunction for those of you who may be slow in the English language. And you will know the truth. If you abide in my word, take up residence in my word, you're truly my disciples. If you abide in my word, take up residence in my word, you will know the truth. The truth. That word for know in Greek there is gnosko, where we literally get the Hebrew idiom for physical intimacy between spouses. If you abide in my word, you become intimately familiar with truth. To say it very simply, and Paul said it beautifully in Romans chapter 12, that do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Metamorpho. That metamorpho is a continual, consistent, perpetual process until we go to glory. If you be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, then and only then will you be able to test and approve what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. To say it simply, the touchstone for discernment is continual submission to being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The touchstone for becoming intimate with truth is abiding in God's word. Now, why am I saying all of that? Because we are living in a time, and Abdu Murray defined it as a post-truth culture, where facts, we can take or leave some of those. They don't really matter. What really matters is my opinion. What really matters, even more so than my opinion, is how I feel. We just had a Supreme Court decision in the Jack Phillips case where the Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy concluded his opinion based on it didn't feel right for the Colorado Civil Rights Commission to be so demeaning to Jack Phillips' religion. That's not constitutional analysis. That's a debate in civility. That's a conversation about manners, about feelings. Because if we are not those who are abiding in Jesus' words, being transformed by the renewing of our mind, we are prone, as a result of being unmoored from the anchor of our souls, to be blown just like a boat drifts at sea, unmoored from the dock or unmoored from an anchoring. Check this out. So Jesus drops this bomb on this Jewish audience, saying that if you would abide in my word, you'll be my disciples. Abide in my word, you will gnosko the truth. You will know the truth. And then he adds this in, and the truth, and the presumption is the truth that you know, the truth that you'll become intimately familiar with will set you free. Now, Jesus is talking to these cats about the way to salvation, about being eternally redeemed. And all of this truth that Jesus is dropping on them, they get hung up on one small thing. What's that? With all of that truth, they respond in verse 33. We are Abraham's offspring, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. Hold it, Jack. You're missing the whole conversation. They took Jesus' conversation about the truth setting them free as an indictment and an insult on their ethnic heritage. This Jewish audience had such an emotional identification with their ethnic heritage, they could not hear what Jesus was saying about abiding in him and being his disciples. All they heard is, man, he said we're slaves. And so their immediate, visceral, and emotional response was to say, we're Abraham's offspring. We're not enslaved to anyone. Now, just for 1 second, let's call a timeout on the scripture. I wish I had a whistle. Timeout. Do you have somebody here with a black and white stripe? Timeout. Don't the Jews celebrate kind of a high holy day every year called Passover? Eh, methinks. Hannah, what is the Passover celebration about? I don't know, maybe the Hebrew people being enslaved for 400 years in Egypt and Yahweh sovereignly delivers them from that slavery? To a land that flows with milk and honey, to a land of their own possession and all of that, right? Here, if this is not the day we're living in right now, I don't know what else is. Here, they have such an emotional investment in their identity, they couldn't hear the facts of what Jesus was laying out. And it caused them to emotionally make a declarative statement of fact that was erroneous. It was absolutely wrong. I say it all the time, reminds me of Thomas Sowell's quote. It's not that Johnny can't read. It's not that Johnny can't think. It's that Johnny has confused thinking with feeling. They felt a certain way, so their feelings led them to make a declarative statement that was absolutely false. Then look what Jesus says to them. What? He didn't say what. That's me saying it. Verse 34. Jesus answered them. Well, let me read their reply again. Verse 33. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Or just, I guess we forget the whole Passover thing, right? Verse 34, Jesus' response. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. You see, Jesus was talking about their soul's condition. He wasn't talking about a natural condition of slavery, but because of their holding on to this thing about ethnic identity and value being placed in their Jewishness in this entire phenomenon, they completely missed what Jesus was saying. And Jesus had to go and lay it out for them more plainly. I'm talking about your lifestyle. I'm talking about how you're living. The Apostle Paul said once that you have zeal. You have zeal. You are zealous. You are emotionally vibrant. But your zeal is not according to knowledge. Oh, what an indictment. We are living in a time where our culture is littered with people who are zealous. They are zealous. You hear me? They are emotionally aroused. They are easily excited. They are zealous. But the question I have is your zeal buffered, metered, bolstered by knowledge? When Jesus came, they said, behold him, full of what? Mercy and truth. We cannot afford to be a people that are all blow up, all get up and no go, all zeal and no knowledge. We don't have the luxury, especially if you are believing the Lord Jesus Christ, to be all emotion and no knowledge, to be all mercy and no truth. Because if we become out of balance, if we become all truth and no mercy, we're out of balance. All mercy and no truth will cause us to avoid preaching the gospel of repentance. All truth and no mercy will cause us to be callous and hard-hearted. We must follow our Lord's lead, take up residence, habitation in his word, because then we will know, gnosko the truth, and the truth that we know will make us free.
Justice for Jack. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. The U.S. Supreme Court stopped those who wanted to force Colorado baker Jack Phillips to use his artistic talents to support so-called same-sex marriage. The court ruled the Colorado Civil Rights Commission violated the First Amendment by making disparaging comments against his religious beliefs. This is a huge victory for religious freedom. The court correctly understood that people of faith should not be forced to speak a message that violates their conscience. Any person or business can refuse to celebrate a KKK event. A painter can refuse to paint hate, nudity, or the Nazi symbol. A photographer or movie maker can refuse to film offensive content. This is clearly protected in our Constitution and recently correctly applied by the Supreme Court. Liberty Counsel was privileged to submit an amicus brief in this case. Learn more about this ruling and how it impacts you at lc.org/Baker. That's lc.org/Baker.
The American Family Association invites you to a very special gathering of AFA friends from across America this fall at the Big Cedar Lodge in the Ozarks. The AFA retreat will be a relaxing time of fellowship and inspiration. Speakers include Sandy Rios, Dr. Ray Pritchard, Todd Starnes, Abraham Hamilton III, and Ed Battagliano, and Dennis Jernigan will lead us in worship. Experience all of this in a beautiful setting that dates back to the 1920s, built originally to be a wilderness retreat for a prominent Missouri family. We hope you'll join us October 8th through the 11th at the rustic Big Cedar Lodge just south of Branson on Table Rock Lake. It promises to be a refreshing time of worship, teaching, fellowship, and fun. To register or for more information, visit afafoundation.net. Seating is limited, so register today. Hope to see you there.
Abraham Hamilton III.
God put us in this world at this time to be salt and light. We don't fold because of the darkness that we're facing. This is not the first time in the world's history that it's gotten dark. God has called you and I to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment.
Tune in to the Hamilton Quarter, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
So they asked me to enter my email address. And the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
If I might, I just wanted to make a brief statement on immigration and what's happening. And I'll say it very honestly, and I'll say it very straight. Immigration is the fault and all of the problems that we're having. Because we cannot get them to sign legislation. We cannot get them even to the negotiating table. And I say it's very strongly the Democrats' fault. They're obstructing, or they're really obstructionist, and they are obstructing. The United States will not be a migrant camp, and it will not be a refugee holding facility. Won't be. You look at what's happening in Europe, you look at what's happening in other places, we can't allow that to happen to the United States. Not on my watch.
Not on my watch. Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio, Urban Family Talk. That was President Donald Trump today at the White House. He was there for a meeting on the, where I had it right here, the National Space Council. I said, well, let me take a break from talking space and talk immigration. Talk immigration. He said, not on my watch. We will not become a migrant camp. Not on my watch. And a lot of folks don't like that. No, a lot of people don't like that. Well, let's get into it, shall we? Since we're already on the subject, might as well get into it, right? So while I was away, I kept getting all of these messages about, oh, don't you know President Trump is ripping children from their parents' arms at the border? Show for shame. And I'm saying, what? I mean, I'm in a place I don't even have reception very well. I can't keep up. I'm saying, wait, what? And people say, oh, Abraham, would you have to do something? You have to say something. Like, what do you want me to do? And so my initial response is, wait a minute. Let me try to find out some facts. What's going on here? And so when I finally was able to get to some factual information, I found out what they were talking about. I was like, oh. My immediate thought was, wait a minute. Is this something President Trump is initiating, or is he enforcing existing policy? Well, as you would have it, because the question that always should be asked, right? And we're talking about having zeal, but not according to knowledge, being ready to respond with a visceral, emotional reaction, but not having the facts, not having the facts. My first question was, where are you getting this information from? So when I finally was able to get to a spot where I got some reception, I recognized, oh, this is coming from the talking snakes. I said, So let me process this for a second. Talking snake media, okay. Immoral, abusing children. Oh, okay. Ripping children from the arms of their mothers at the border. And my immediate thought was, wait a minute. Do these people really love children? Are these people really the people who care about maintaining the integrity of nuclear families? Because last I checked, these are the same people who support policy initiatives for well over a generation, nearly half a century, that would have our government subsidizing policies that by their requirements, by their necessities, require fathers to be outside of the homes. And in case you don't know what I'm talking about the welfare state, to where benefits are offered to people if they are willing to separate children from their fathers. Next thought, do these people really care? Ripping children from mothers. These are the same people who fight for, march for, mount party platform stages to advocate for the right to rip children out of their mother's wombs. So how are you going to tell me that you have a genuine care for the love and concern of the children and their families? Nah, me think something else is going on here. Now, let's be clear about this. As a Christian man, my heart breaks for families that are destroyed. We must have compassion. We must not allow the bowels of our compassion to be crusted over. It should break our hearts when families are separated. However, we cannot allow, and my pastor in New Orleans used to say this all the time, we cannot allow our compassion to be polluted. The Apostle Paul said it. We cannot allow our zeal to run amok with no knowledge. When we pause for a moment and consider the fact that who is it that's telling us this? Do they really care about children, or is something else afoot here? We begin to learn, we get a bit of a grid, if you will, to evaluate the information that's being presented to us. So then, as you all know I do, many of you listen to the program because of this, I start digging into to see what's going on here. And I found, whoa, President Trump is just enforcing a law from 1997. So what was going on in 1997? I'm so glad you asked. There was a person who was in the Oval Office. His name was Bill. Bill Clinton, by the way. Under Clinton's administration, a policy was enacted, congressionally, by the way, that resulted in the Flores Consent Decree of 1997, which addressed the circumstance when unaccompanied minors arrived at the American border. And I'll say it this way, and I found this article, and I posted this on the Facebook page, the Hamilton on the Facebook page. Rich Lowry from the National Review, he wrote, "The Trump administration isn't changing the rules that pertain to separating an adult from the child. Those remain the same. Separation happens only if officials find," this is three categories, folks, "separation only happens when immigration officials at the border find, one, the adult is falsely claiming to be the child's parent." Why is that important? I have some audio I'm going to play for you. Secretary of Homeland Security Kirstjen Nielsen just shared that that 80%, that will be 10,000 out of the 12,000 children who so-called been separated at the border, those 10,000 of 12,000, that's 80%, by the way, they made their way to the American border, not with their parents. Oh, no. Their parents sent them with other adults. Not their parents. And as Rich Lowry indicated, one of the first scenarios that a separation would happen is if the adult who is with the child falsely claims to be their parent. Second, if the adult that is with the child is a threat to the child. And thirdly, if that adult is put into criminal proceedings. And that would be discussing the illegality of entering the country. Illegal entry to the United States is a misdemeanor. Illegal re-entry is a felony. In order to be charged and convicted of illegal re-entry, you had to have had a person who entered the country illegally, been deported, and then return. Okay? Now, the main concern that's operative here is the final scenario, if there are criminal proceedings that develop. When a migrant is prosecuted, as I said, for illegal entry, he or she is taken into custody by the U.S. Marshals. In no circumstance anywhere in the U.S. do the Marshals care for the children or of people they take into custody. The child is taken into the custody of HHS. All right? Now, what I want to share, as a result of the Flores consent decree from 1997, that consent decree said that the unaccompanied children can only be held by ICE officials for 20 days. All right? 20 days. So let me set the scenario again. You have a minor that's with an adult that may or may not be their parent. The adult is being processed for illegal entry into the country. The question then becomes, what do you do with the minor? Well, you have several options at that point. Okay? Several options at that point. If the adult, which often is the case, realizes that, oh yeah, I'm approaching illegally, they don't have to be separated from the children if they submit to deportation. I don't mean to laugh, but you have people attempting to place a moral imperative upon the United States when the United States didn't bring them here. You have adults who've made the decision to enter the U.S. illegally, and you have minors with them. And the resolution, if they want to stay together, is everybody goes back to the home country together. What's so wrong with that? But no, what often happens is the next phase. The adult, once submitted to processing, they then invoke a claim for, the big word here, asylum. Now I'm going to pause about asylum because we're going to get to that next. The Flores consent decree from 1997 ruled that an unaccompanied minor, meaning a minor that was not accompanied by an adult, could not be held more than 20 days. The Flores consent decree originally did not address the scenario when a minor was accompanied by an adult. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals expanded and applied the Flores consent decree to the scenario when you have a minor that accompanies the adult. So get back to the scenario I posed before. So now you have a minor that is with an adult that may or may not be their parent. The law says that minor cannot be held by ICE longer than 20 days. So what happens if that illegal alien, during the course of processing, they do not submit to the lawful deportation order, which would allow them to intact return to their country of origin? The adult then says, well, I'm claiming asylum. Guess what? That adult has just left that minor hanging in the wind. Not the U.S. government. Okay? So now, what usually happens at that point, and I have so many facts I want to get to. At that point, and I got to get to it here, that minor, which usually has a family member or some other adult in the state, is often then given charge of that minor at some point later in the future. All right? Now that we have that established, let's talk about the questions where this came from. I said it already. Flores Consent Decree of 97. That was an agreement entered by the Clinton administration. It was reticently enforced by the Bush administration, which I find interesting that Laura Bush is making comments when her husband enforced the same policies. Many of the pictures that are circulating in social media that you're seeing old children in cages and all the things, you want to know where many of those pictures came from? Not 2018. 2014. Under one President Barack Obama. You see, that this same thing that is happening today, it has been happening for quite some time. So then the question must be, of course, you get to think, well, hey, but just because Obama did it, that doesn't make it right. That's right, that's right. But you have to ask yourself the question, why is it being reported like this now, and it wasn't reported like this under former President Barack Obama? And to add another interesting conversation, it's why hasn't Congress done anything to change the immigration laws? This entire scenario could be fixed today by Congress. Immediately. But can I tell you something? You might not want to hear this. Many of the Congress people don't want to fix it because they want to be able to use that as an issue to lie about President Trump and to deceive you about it. Now, here's the big question. Oh, asylum. I left that out. Many of us may not be aware of this, but did you know those who seek asylum the way that our law allows it to be sought are not considered illegal aliens? It's amazing that those illegal aliens who are attempting to cross the border do not raise the asylum issue until they've been arrested by ICE officials. If you are seeking asylum, all that has to be done to come to the United States of America is you go to the points of entry in our country. You don't bypass the points of entry and attempt to enter the country illegally. If asylum is sought through the lawful means that are made available currently, then those persons are not considered illegal aliens under our law. Did you know that? And the way it exists is that the first appeal for asylum should take place at some safe point along the way. Most of the people coming in between Central America and other nations. But if they feel like that is too much of a risk, all that has to be done is you come to a normal point of entry and you say, I am here to seek asylum. Asylum seekers have expedited status within our current immigration system. So I'm saying all of this, and again, not to advocate a hard-heartedness or a callousness, but to encourage truth-seeking and not solely. Notice I didn't say ignoring it. We need emotion. Emotion is good. God has given us emotions. But emotions are horrible generals, but they're wonderful foot soldiers. That's why the Bible tells us to set our affections, not to allow our affections to set us. We are to control our emotions. And so if we have not just an emotional response to what the mainstream propaganda arms are telling us what to think and also what to think about, then we may be able to navigate this. Folks, the hard truth in this scenario is that this entire fomentation by the Talking Snake media is an effort to prop up a last-ditch effort in Congress to provide amnesty on the immigration debate. Right now, you have the House of Representatives and Paul Ryan is presenting an amnesty bill in Congress, and they're attempting to gin up the type of popular support that would put pressure on the Congress people to pass an amnesty piece of legislation. That's what this is all about. These people, many of them, and I know for a fact, they are people who I would describe as regressives, that they are genuinely compassionate about children. Genuinely. I know that. But at the same time, we have to make sure our zeal is buttressed by knowledge that mercy is married to truth. And by remaining, by abiding in the truth of God's word, it will fortify us against being deceived, against having the popular conversations of the day have us dragged around by our affections instead of us setting our affections. They say, man, my heart breaks for people that are suffering in these scenarios. Now, what can and should be done lawfully? Well, what really should be done is, as President Trump said in the clip I just played, come to the negotiating table and pass legislation that will remove our immigration system away from diversity lotteries, move it away from non-merit-based procedures. And there was something I remember. Oh, a wall. Yeah, there was a wall. But this is an attempt to accomplish an end run around the debate and to try to shame legislative action.
One of my favorite things to do in Israel is take a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Hello everyone, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be taking our annual tour of Israel in March of 2019, but it's time to sign up. We have a lot of folks sign up early, and last year, in fact, we filled up several months in advance. So for all the information on this trip to Israel, a bucket list trip for most people, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure, call us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your phone number. We'll be flying direct from the States to Tel Aviv and then begin our tour in Jerusalem of Israel. We hope you can join us in 2019.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims who lose everything.
It's truly a blessing. I really don't have the words to express.
And yet, they see a glimmer of hope when a volunteer shows up.
Building the home, that's the second reason we're here. The number one reason is to share the gospel and give them hope.
It's everything that's right in America. I mean, it really represents the best that we have to offer.
That's one of the main reasons for doing it, is being able to be the hands and feet of Jesus and coming out and working with so many wonderful volunteers.
I just feel like it's important in this day and age to teach a child how to serve.
Please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved. Submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well.
I love coming in the job room because you can see these pieces of paper, they aren't just a piece of paper.
Right.
It's a family that's hurting, and it's a gospel opportunity.
You know, I just thank God, you know, for this moment. I mean, I'll be back in my home, and I know it's going to be awesome.
Come love others with 8 Days of Hope.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. The First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, paid a billboard company to advertise its Faith and Freedom service. The ad included the phrase, "America is a Christian Nation," the name of Pastor Robert Jeffress' sermon. Dallas Morning News columnist Robert Walonsky was stuck in traffic the other day, saw the sign. He was immediately triggered. Mayor Mike Rawlings was also offended by the message, suggesting it was hateful and divisive. Word got back to the company that owns the billboards, and they quickly removed the church's advertisement. Outfront Media says the idea of America being a Christian nation is anger-provoking. But there's good news for the First Baptist Church. Turns out another billboard company offered to put the church's message up on 20 billboards, not 2. In other words, Mr. Walonsky might want to find another way to work, or else be prepared for another microaggression. I'm Todd Stearns.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Let's be honest. Some who would like us to look the other way when dealing with families at the border and not enforce the law passed by Congress, including, unfortunately, some members of Congress. Past administrations may have done so, but we will not. We do not have the luxury of pretending that all individuals coming to this country as a family unit are in fact a family. We have to do our job. We will not apologize for doing for our job. We have sworn to do this job. This administration has a simple message. If you cross the border illegally, we will prosecute you. If you make a false immigration claim, we will prosecute you. If you smuggle illegal aliens across an extraordinarily dangerous journey, we will prosecute you. But I have also made clear you do not need to break the law of this country by entering illegally to claim asylum. If you are seeking asylum, go to a port of entry.
Go to a port of entry. Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. That's the exact point I just made. Authentic asylum seekers are not deemed illegal aliens under the American immigration law. Right now, if you go to a point of entry, declare you're seeking asylum at the point of entry, your claim is expedited under asylum status. You are not deemed an illegal alien. You are not arrested. You're not arrested. And again, this is why we have to get beyond the emotional talking points. And again, don't eliminate emotion. Allow the emotion to move us into a factual investigation and to see whether or not our emotion is rightly directed. And if we find that it's wrongly directed, we have to have the integrity, the honesty, and the humility to make an adjustment. Now, let me say this. I do think the Trump administration made some errors in this regard, namely Stephen Miller, who I like, and John Kelly, who I like as well. They referred to the separation at the border as a deterrent, which I think was a misstep for communication purposes. Okay? I think that the deterrent is the detention of those who seek to enter our border illegally. There's no need to add on to that. And so I think that is kind of an unforced error that allowed this narrative to gain some steam, but it still should be able to be slapped down pretty quickly when we dig into the facts. And what Kirstjen Nielsen just said in the audio clip that I just played is a fact that should not be ignored. 80% of the young of the minors who have been encountered at the border, 80% of them have not been accompanied by their parents. They're with adults, but it's not their parents. 80%. And I'm saying all of that so you can have facts and information to communicate with your friends and loved ones, because the mainstream talking snakes are selling us a bill of goods. And they're attempting to change and to turn popular opinion to benefit themselves. We will go to the phone lines. If you want to be a part of the program, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That number to call again is 888-589-8840. We will start the program in Texas, where Gary is on the line. Gary, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I love your show. The main thing is that was the clearest explanation of what the issue is, that these minors are being taken away from the adults at the adult's choice, and that all they got to do is return back to where they came from, and they're not torn asunder. I wish Sarah Huckabee Sanders would be listening to your show, because you always are clear and concise. You do an amazing job.
Oh, Gary, thank you very much for your kind words. I appreciate that. And if you have Sarah on speed dial, you should go ahead and send her a link to the program and have her listen to the Hamilton Corner. No, man, I'm just joking there, but I'm serious. No, but the thing is that's the truth. That is the truth. That when they are detained, a part of the processing, it gives the adults who are illegally crossing the opportunity to say, you know what, everybody will all leave. But no, and you know why that's the case? And I reported on this program early on in the Trump administration that the number of illegal border crossings had reduced significantly. Well, you want to know what? Since October of 2017 until now, that number of illegal border crossers being accompanied by minors has increased 315%. So the question has to be, well, why is that? I'll tell you why. The illegal border crossers reduced initially, and I'm going somewhere with this, so just stay with me, reduced initially because President Trump's tough talk on the issue caused many of them to say, man, we probably shouldn't try to cross now because it's not going to be successful. But then that number slowly increased. Why is that? Because word began to spread that, oh, though the talk is tougher, the policy hasn't changed. If you show up, especially with a minor, you have a higher likelihood of being released into the American populace, never to be found again. Because the question is then asked, well, how are so many getting lost? Well, what ends up happening is when you have the adults who are separated from the minors, the minors have to give the address of the new relative that they will be placed in charge of, and that address changes quite frequently. And so you have this scenario where you have lots of people who have entered the country illegally and they can't be found again in America. And so on the other side, the option would be if you don't detain the adults, you release the adults and the children in America, which, by the way, was happening at high clips under former presidents, not just President Obama, but it was happening under President George W. Bush as well. We cannot forget that. So again, I'm sharing all of this so that we can have all of the facts when we are attempting to navigate this issue and have conversations, that we're able to do some with emotion, yes, but emotion that is buttressed by, that is bolstered by, and aided by truth. Aided by truth. Back to the phone lines we go. Next, we'll go to Oklahoma, where David is on the line. David, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hello, Mr. Hamilton. I appreciate you taking my call. I really appreciate your show. I have to say that. And I just, but to get to the point, sir, I really can't help but not let my memory fade on this one situation back in the late 1980s or 90s, excuse me. Elian Gonzalez was too ripped from family's homes, from his family's home, when being deported back to his, well, communist father in Cuba. And I just, I kind of wonder, I can't help but think that the same camp here that is crying foul, or they think is foul, what's happening with these children, are probably the same exact people that condoned this act of having him sent back to Cuba. And now he's a staunch supporter of that society, that communist society, and utterly hates America for it. What's your take on that, sir?
I think you're spot on, David. I think if we were honest and we asked who are the people who were celebrating Elian Gonzalez's forced separation from his parents and family in America to return to Cuba, that these are the same folks. And again, we, because of the microwave generation, you know, we fast food, and fast food is not even enough. Now you can order it online and show up at the fast food joint and bring it out to your car, that we have recency bias. If this issue was as galling to the mainstream media, why didn't they report it like this under Clinton? Why didn't they report it like this under Barack Obama? Because they couldn't be bothered with the facts of the scenario. It is simply because the outrage fits their objectives, which I hate to say this, and I'm not going to paint with an overbroad brush, because like I said before, I know there are people who are genuinely concerned about the separation of families and the condition of people who come to our country illegally. They're genuinely concerned that are on the left of the political spectrum. I believe that. I know that to be true. And guess what? People on the right are genuinely concerned about separating families. Hello, the American Family Radio. Urban Family Talk. And I say this, and we shouldn't have to do this. I don't think your identification necessarily gives more authenticity to your opinion, but I have Hispanics in my family. My wife is Hispanic. I have migrants in my family, okay? But we cannot allow our compassion to get us to the place where we are completely willing to tarnish the rule of law. I mean, if we don't have a cohesive understanding of immigration laws, what are we as a nation? I don't see the same outrage when people in America are incarcerated and are separated from their children. I can't go to another country illegally and then complain that if I go to the country illegally and I bring my children with me, that they separate me from my children. Any more than I can complain if I get caught, you know, evading a police officer in a motor vehicle, and I'm guilty of a felony evading a police officer and my children in a car, you think they're going to let me take my children with me to jail? I mean, come on, people. We can't let our brains get checked at the door, because the twofold, this is the double-edged sword of the cultural moment, right? The emotional appeal of families being intact, which is legitimate, but you cannot deny the reality that the impetus of this zeal is a particularized disdain for President Trump. Tell you like it is. Back to the phone lines we go. Next to Louisiana, where David is on the line. David, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Hamilton. Yes, I just want to echo your comment about viewing all this with your eyes and mind, not just your heart, because the heart is easily deceived. Mm. You know, and the reason it's gotten this bad is nothing has ever been done to deter this influx. Now, in fact, in the past 6 years, it's always been encouraged.
Mm.
And I've read reports that the Obama administration were hiring truckers to bring immigrants, to the border. You know, and again, it was not. I never validated the stories, but this is something I do not doubt.
Mm. That's a good point, David. No, that is an actual reporting. If you recall, there were 125,000 unaccompanied minors who had made the trek not from Mexico, but from Guatemala, from Honduras, and those other places, in light of President Obama's efforts there to encourage additional illegal immigration. You are absolutely right. But back to the phone lines, we go next to Texas, where Elise, if I mispronounce your name, please correct me, is on the line. How do you pronounce your name? Ellis? Is it Elise?
Elio.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Can you hear me well now?
I hear you very well. Go right ahead.
Okay. Abraham, I'm from Brazil. I've been here in America for almost 2 years under your political asylum visa, and we're still pending. We have a pending visa process. We were interviewed a month ago in El Paso, and this, I just wanted to give my point of view as an immigrant myself and how this whole process is so politicized. My family and I, we were in El Paso in the USCIS department, and in order to be interviewed, and I'm legally here, all my family is legally here, we entered through a port of entry, and so in order to interview me appropriately, the agent, federal agent, removed my family from me for almost a whole afternoon. So this is something that has to happen in order even to protect our kids from the brutal things that supposedly you had in your country and you brought in, and that led you somehow to apply for the political asylum visa. So there is a wonderful book by a guy, I don't know, probably you know it, Paul Bloom. He writes Against Empathy, a Moral Case for Compassionate Public Policy. It is wonderful the way he puts it, because it's basically aligned with what you're just saying right now, emotions versus rationale. Rationale. So this is a good time for us to do that. And the last thing I would like to say is, as a Brazilian and as an immigrant myself, I don't know if I can spiritually do that, but I am sorry. I ask you American folks forgiveness for all the crazy things that has been happening here in America for a long time. And somehow I think that based on the forgiveness that the Lord gives us, and it's not going to create peace overnight, but somehow I think that if we come to a point of understanding our sin as immigrants in doing that, I think somehow that the Lord will hear from heaven and heal this nation.
Well said. Well said. Thank you so much for calling the Hamilton Corner. I appreciate you doing that. I wanted to play. I have so much to get to today, and I'm sorry I have so many people on the line. I'm not going to be able to get to any more calls today, but wanted to share this from Kirsten Nielsen, Secretary of Homeland Security, from today. This is literally hot off the presses during a press conference today in the White House press briefing room. If you would, Jeff, play clip number 5 for me.
How is this not specifically child abuse for these innocent children who are indeed being separated from their parents?
So I want to be clear on a couple other things. The vast majority of children who are in the care of HHS right now, 10,000 of the 12,000, were sent here alone by their parents. That's when they were separated. So somehow we've conflated everything, but there's two separate issues. 10,000 of those currently in custody were sent by their parents with strangers to undertake a completely dangerous and deadly travel alone. We now care for them. We have high standards. We give them meals. We give them education. We give them medical care. There's videos. There's TVs. I visited the detention centers myself. That would be my answer to that question. Yes.
If I could follow up with
child abuse, don't you think it would be important for the parents of the children to care enough to enter legally? That's just a thought. Thank you so much for all who called the program today. Again, if I couldn't get to your calls today, please call back tomorrow. I'm open to taking calls on this tomorrow because this is an issue that needs to be discussed, not merely with emotion, but also with facts and knowledge. Thank you for joining the program today, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.